Good evening and welcome to the gospel meeting. We want to welcome everyone. Thank you for being here tonight. And we have an exciting and a life-changing message that we get to share with you this evening. So we are glad that you are here. I ask that you listen very carefully. Tonight, your life could change. We also take this time for those who are listening to this message around the world. Through the use of technology, we send our love and greetings to you from the state of Michigan. And just as those are here, this message is also for you. I'd like to begin with a number 4 in the back of the book. It says, His be the victor's name, who fought the fight alone. Triumphant saints no honor claim. His conquest was their own. By weakness and defeat, he won the meed and crown. Trod all our foes beneath his feet, by being trodden down. Bless, bless the conqueror slain, slain in his victory. Who lived, who died, who lives again for thee, or for you, his church, for thee. Number 4 in the back of the book. His be thy. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come together this beautiful Sunday evening to share the gospel. We just pray for each and every one who hears this message, that they would come to know how much you love them, how much you care about them. In your desire that not one person in this room or not one person who is listening to this message would end up in the lake of fire, but that they would come to know you as their own personal Savior. We pray that the entrance of thy words would bring forth light. And we pray tonight that there would be many who would come to know you as their own personal Savior. We pray for power. We pray for conviction, and we pray for blessing on thy precious word. And lastly, we pray for the young people from Canada who are traveling, the group of 15 or 20. We pray for journeying mercies and a safe trip for each and every one of them. We ask this in your worthy and precious name. Amen. Before we sing another song, just like Bernie introduced himself yesterday to the group here, I'm just a servant of the Lord, but it's nice to have that personal connection, because the message that we share with you tonight is something that I've accepted myself, and it's changed my life. My name is Donnie, and I live on the other side of this beautiful state of Michigan, closer to Detroit. So we welcome each and every one here. For those of you that are not from Michigan, you can use your hand. And we're over on the left side of your hand. That's approximately where we are. And then Michigan, where we're from, on the other side, Detroit and Richmond, are over on the right hand of the side. So if you're not from around here, you can ask somebody to show you where on their hand they live. Michigan is a great state to be able to use your hand. Okay. And if you have a thumb on your hand, which I believe everybody does, just go ahead and touch your thumb. I want you to know tonight that you are thumb-buddy that God loves, and He cares for you. I'd like to sing the same song we just sung. There's value in repetition. There's value in singing a song more than once, because we want the message to sink in, and we want the truth that's in this song to be something that you remember not only for tonight, but for the rest of your life. Because I'd like to speak about the one who is the victor, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's all about Him and nothing about ourselves. So tonight, as we preach the gospel, it's all about Him and nothing about ourselves. He was the one, referring to the Lord Jesus, who went to Calvary's cross to bleed and suffer and die for you and for me. And I'm excited to be able to tell you about Him and the true story from God's Word this evening. So let's go back to number 4, and we're going to sing it again. 4 in the back of the book. His be the victor. Tonight's message, as I mentioned, can change your life, and I ask that you listen very carefully. It would be a wonderful thing if tonight you found peace with God. It would be an incredible thing if the sins that you have were forgiven. It would be a marvelous thing if the direction of your life, instead of going to the bad place, hell, was changed so you could go to the good place, heaven. It would be so special if that void in your heart that you have could be filled. We're just so thankful that Tim and his wife Elaine have this camp and invite us to come. It's just, we've been here 2 days now and it's been so fun. Being able to visit, being able to meet new friends, being able to catch up with our brothers and sisters in Christ that we know. Our children have really enjoyed being able to see their friends and to make new friends, and just so special to be here. But tonight could be even so much more wonderful if you were to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. As I look out into the room, I assume that most of you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, but I don't have assurance that every single person does. And it's so important that if you're one of the ones who doesn't, that you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight. And for those of you who are listening to this, perhaps you're on the treadmill right now, perhaps you're driving down the street, we love you too, and we want you to come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Tonight we present to you a God who loves you. But before we do that, as we just step back, as we look around the beautiful scenery here at the camp, as we see the beautiful trees outside, as we see the beautiful water down beneath the big recreation room, who made all that? That was created by God. And God, who created this world, who created the beauty around us, He also created you. And He loves you. And He cares about you. And He knows all about you. The Bible says, we'll begin with this verse in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So right at the very, very start, we want to bring out the wonderful truth that God loves you. We also want to bring out the truth that God is holy. And God cannot have any sin in His presence. And also want to bring out that God is light. So as I speak to you tonight, it's really not what I say, it's what does God say. God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's the entrance of God's word that gives light. If you're searching tonight, you've come to the right place. We can help you. We can share God's word with you, and your life can be changed. Tonight's message is going to be centered around a verse in the book of Job. In Job chapter 41. It's going to be three words, so that even the youngest person in this room can remember it to the oldest. The gospel is not complicated. It's very simple. It's life-changing. But the story behind it and what happened is very, very important, because someone had to die to make it possible for you to be able to accept God's gift of eternal life. But before we get into that, let's set the stage with a verse in Job chapter 41 and verse 8. Job chapter 41 and verse 8, it says, "Lay thine hand upon him, remember the battle, do no more." And tonight I'm going to use this verse in Liberty and the Gospel, and we're going to focus on those three words. Remember the battle. We're going to talk about what was that battle, who was involved in it, where did it take place, why did it take place, and why is it so important? This morning we had the privilege, and it was a privilege, to be able to remember the Lord Jesus in his death, as he asked us to do. What a wonderful way to put the Lord first and start off the week by putting him first and being obedient to his request to remember him. But you might be wondering, who is Jesus? I've heard about him. Who is God? I've heard about him. Tonight you can find out, and tonight you can know who these ones are. Remember the battle. Because there was a death that took place nearly 2,000 years ago. And there was a lot at stake. The eternal destiny of mankind was at stake on this battle that took place on Mount Calvary. And so today we're going to remember the battle. We're going to look at it. Who was involved? Why did it take place? Why did somebody have to die? What happened? What was the outcome? Remember the battle. Well, first of all, let's set the stage. We've mentioned that God is a God of love, and he loves each and every one of you. And remember the thumb on your hand? You are somebody that God loves. Yes, I can speak intelligently, but I was just putting that as a pun. You are somebody God loves. But think of that thumb. You are somebody that God loves. And God loves you more than you ever know. He was the one who created you. He was the one who knew long before you were born who your parents were going to be. He was the one who knew what state, what province, what country you would live in. He was the one who knew if you would have any brothers or sisters. He's the one who sees you inside your mommy's tummy right now, even though you haven't been born. And he loves you. That's one of his characteristics. We've also reminded ourselves that God is holy. God cannot tolerate sin. Timothy was speaking this morning, remember those bricks? And I'm going to kind of use a little bit of repetition. One, it helps my children remember what we've covered so far in the meeting. So if I reference what Tim was speaking about or what Bernie was speaking about yesterday, it's good to remind ourselves and to build upon them, right? Line upon line, precept upon precept. He had before us those stones. Those were weights. And the one who can remove them, we're going to tell you about that again today. Sin is not just something that weighs us down. In God's sight, it's awful. I did not bring it as an object lesson, but I could have because I just got a fresh one about 45 minutes before the gospel meeting, but it was a poopy diaper. And sin is like a poopy diaper. It's dirty, it's awful, and in the eyes of a holy and righteous God, he can't have it. I think some of you are smiling and glad I didn't bring it, but I think that you could relate to it, even though I don't have it here. It's bad, and God cannot have it in his presence. So we have a God of love, and we have a God who is holy, and we have sin, and we have love. And something has to be done because God loves you, but he cannot allow sin into heaven, can he? Won't allow any sin into heaven. And why that is important is because, let's be honest, we all have what? We all have sinned. And if we're honest, we will admit that. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that includes me. The Bible tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. So when we bring before us the realization that each and every one of us, we're guilty of sin. I know we live in a society today where sin is kind of watered down. Ones that our sins are kind of given names that are more softer sounding. For example, adultery is kind of known nowadays, not so much as adultery, but premarital sex still is sin. Fornication, which is sin, is now known as having an affair. Homosexuality, which is sin, is known as having an alternative lifestyle. Can you see how our society waters things down? It still is sin. Abortion, which is murder, we call that pro-choice. That's still sin. But even the things like lying, stealing, those are sins, and those need to be judged, and those need to be dealt with. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5, please. Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, this is Peter speaking. After I read this verse, I'll ask you the question. It says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. At this camp, let's just be real. Let's be honest. Let's not try to hide ourselves, not try to put on a mask. Just let's get to the point. Have you ever in your life gotten to the point where you said, I am a sinful man. I am a sinful woman. I am a sinful boy. I am a sinful girl. Have you got to that point? I have good news for you. But we need to get to the realization that we need to see things as God sees us, don't we? Don't try to pretend. Is there someone here tonight who is pretending? Your parents think that you are a Christian. And maybe you've said your verses in Sunday school. Maybe you sing the songs with excitement and enthusiasm. But you know, in your heart, you've never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're the teenager who's sitting here tonight. Same thing. You've said your verses in Sunday school. You've heard your parents tell you about the Lord Jesus. You've heard your grandparents tell you. But just have never made that decision to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I want to encourage you to do that tonight. Not only if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior are you in your sins, there is a sense of danger because the path that you're on is not the path that leads to heaven. Help me out. Where is the path that you're on leading to? It's to hell, to the lake of fire. And that is not a road we want you to be on. We want you to change your direction. We want you to get on the path that leads to heaven. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 33. I've got good news coming, but I need to make us see where we are in the eyes of a holy and loving God. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 14. Picking it up in about the middle of the verse. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? It's not a joking matter tonight. It's not something to just brush aside and say, you know, this is a great message for the person behind me. Or I'm so glad he's speaking tonight because that's exactly what my brother needs. This is perfect for my sister. This is just what you and I need. Because if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, not only do you have those sins which are weighing you down, think of those stones we saw this morning in Sunday school, think of the poopy diaper weighing you down, bad, not something that God wants to see, but you are also not on the road that leads to heaven, but you are on the road that leads to destruction. We need you to change your direction tonight. And I'm going to help you do that. Okay? Are you listening? So we have our guilt. We have the danger that's in front of us. And I'm also speaking to ones tonight who have an emptiness in their heart that only Jesus can satisfy. But right now, you're trying to satisfy that, not with Jesus, but with the things around you. And we want to let you know tonight that that will not satisfy your heart. Would you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2? If tonight you're trying to find meaning in life apart from the Lord Jesus, I can save you years of trouble if you listen carefully tonight. This book, Ecclesiastes, is a book that reminds us and lets us know that that emptiness that you feel, that void that you have, trying to find peace in this world apart from God, it will not work. The man was named Solomon, and he tried. And he let us know that you cannot do it. This is a book that every young person should read. Everybody obviously should read their Bibles, but if you've not read the book of Ecclesiastes and you have not dug into what's in this book, it'll save you a lot of heartache in your life. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10. And this again is written by Solomon, who had wealth, who had fame, who had tremendous possessions, basically, whatever he wanted. It says in verse 10 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor." What was it? Verse 11, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Nothing in this world will satisfy that emptiness in your heart but the Lord Jesus. How do I know? It tells us that he satisfieth the longing soul. So I had to build this up for you tonight. Three things. Each and every one of us, so far, born in this world, we have our sins. And we need to get rid of those sins. We're going to learn how we can do that. Each and every one of us, until we come to know the Lord Jesus, is on the wrong road, going the wrong way. And we need to turn around. And lastly, if you have that void in your heart that you're trying to fill, perhaps you're trying to fill that by working extra hard so you can make extra money. Nothing wrong with extra money, but if that's trying to fill your void, it's not going to work. If you're trying to fill that void through a special somebody, a special handsome young man or a pretty young girl, it's not going to satisfy your void. If you're trying to satisfy that through going to amusement parks, you're trying to satisfy that by buying a special car, a beautiful boat, sports cards, it's not going to work. We need someone, and that someone is Jesus. And I want to talk about why he came and what took place on Calvary's cross, because it is the gospel message. Well, God is holy, right? And God is love. So we have, if he lets everybody into heaven just as they are in their sins, what's going to make heaven any different than where we are right now? We're just going to have a bunch of people in heaven who still steal, who still lie, who still sin. But there are no thieves in heaven. There are no liars in heaven. There are no hospitals in heaven. There are no police stations in heaven. So something has taken place. And if God is holy and did not provide any way for any of us to have our sins forgiven, we all would be doomed. So this is where it really gets good. We need someone who would satisfy the holy claims of God and also display and manifest His love. And God is going to send His Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world. And that's what He did. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Someone would have to come into this world and die. Someone's blood would have to be shed in order to satisfy the claims of a holy and righteous and loving God. But it'd have to be somebody very, very special, because you and I couldn't do it. It would have to be someone who never sinned, somebody who couldn't sin, someone who knew no sin, and that was the Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, let me get to the right page. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Using this in the gospel sense. Then said I, here am I, send me. And we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. So into the world came the Lord Jesus, one who knew no sin, did no sin, could not sin, but Jesus came into this world. We sang in the breaking of bread this morning, from the palace of His glory, from His home of joy and love, came the Lord Himself to seek us. He would have us there above. Jesus came into this world because He loved you and I, and because He was doing His Father's will. And here on earth, He lived for 33 years. And even though you weren't born yet, and even though I wasn't born yet, He knew, because Jesus is God, He knew that you would be born. And He knew that for you to be able to go to heaven, you would have to have your sins forgiven. So Jesus lived here. He was obedient to His Father, always did what His Father would have Him do. Went about teaching, went about healing, went about training what we call followers of Him, known as disciples. We have the Gospels that tell His life story. But He came with a purpose, and that purpose was to go to Calvary's cross, to die for you and for me. He came into this world knowing that He would die on Calvary's cross. And I'm so thankful that Jesus, as He came into this world, He was obedient to the Father's will and did it. Let's turn to the book of John. You guys are doing a good job listening, and I appreciate this. Setting it up for the battle that took place. Jesus knew that He would be going to the cross. He knew that He would be betrayed. John chapter 18, it says in verse 4, Jesus therefore, If I get ahead of myself like that, just let me know. John chapter 18 and verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth. He wasn't going to turn back. He was going to go to the cross for you and for me. Turn to the next chapter, John chapter 19. John chapter 19. In verse 17, And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side, one, and Jesus in the middle. So let's set the scene. There on Mount Calvary were three crosses. You probably perhaps have seen as your dad or mom has been driving, or perhaps as you've been driving, going along the road and seeing three crosses on the side of the road. There was three crosses on Mount Calvary. And in the middle cross, there was a man who had committed no crimes, who had done nothing wrong. That's the cross that Jesus was on. And on his right hand and on his left hand, on the other two crosses, were criminals who were being crucified. It was there on the cross that the question of sin and God's love was shown. God cannot allow any sin into heaven. And in order for sin to be settled, blood had to be shed. It says in Hebrews, without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. And blood would have to be shed. But it would have to be blood from someone who could not sin and did no sin, a perfect, spotless Lamb of God, and that was Jesus. And so Jesus, there on the cross, was punished for you and for me. The sins that we have committed, God punished him. He became our substitute. A substitute, an illustration from the classroom. When your regular teacher is not there, somebody steps in to fill his or her place, right? And often that's a substitute teacher. So the substitute is someone who takes the place of your teacher. Jesus was the one who said and went to the cross as a substitute to take the punishment that you and I deserve. While he was on the cross, he bore the punishment for our sins. As Tim had this morning, and if you weren't here, he had the children put those bricks into the wheelbarrow to take them off and put them into the wheelbarrow, and he used his strong muscles to take them away. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he took the punishment for the sin that you and I deserved. He was the one whose precious blood was shed so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. So tonight we are presenting to you someone who loved you and someone who died for you, someone who has the power to cleanse you of your sins, someone who has the power to change the direction of your life, someone who has the power to fill that void in your heart. So on the cross, Jesus died. And on the cross, his precious blood was shed. We want to make sure we bring out the value of the blood. Let's turn to chapter 19 and verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And it is that precious blood that cleanseth us from all our sins. It was the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And there it was, Jesus dying on Calvary's cross. Jesus was taken off of the cross. Turn to verse 40 of chapter 19. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Jesus was taken off the cross and put in a tomb. Well, now from the devil's perspective, and I need to mention him, because you may or may not know it, there is also someone out there who wants to bring you down, the enemy of our souls, and that is the devil, Satan. He doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. He is a liar, and he wants to bring you down. He wants you to take you down to where he will eventually be, in the lake of fire. And tonight there is a battle that's going on in your soul, for those who aren't saved, almost like a tug of war. On one hand, you're hearing the gospel tonight. You're hearing how Jesus loved you, how Jesus died for you, and how he wants to be your Savior. But there's also that tug that's going on right now. Perhaps he's kind of whispering, psst, don't believe him. Don't believe him. Or better yet, enjoy camp, and maybe a later time when you get a little older, accept the Lord as your Savior. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the enemy. He does not want you to get saved. We have on one hand Jesus, who wants to save you. We have on the other hand the enemy, the devil, who does not want you to be saved. Well, Jesus was buried. And then what? I say it reverently, but kind of coming from the other side, the devil perhaps thought, oh, great. Here's one of those ones who said he was going to save the world. Here's one who thought he was going to change. I claim the victory. There's more to the story. There's more to the story. Because the good news is, Jesus, although he died on the cross, and although he was buried, that is not where he is right now. He rose from the dead. Jesus is alive. Jesus is not dead. God was satisfied with the work on Calvary's cross, and he raised his son from the dead. And Jesus is alive. It is so precious. The victory has been won. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings. There's glad tidings coming to you tonight here on this side of Michigan. How that the promises which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the psalm, the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, and this is what we want to make known, and we boldly tell this to you tonight. We are not ashamed that we, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's our Savior, we claim the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Here's the good thing we can share with you tonight, is because of Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection, we can preach unto you tonight forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those sins that you have tonight can be forgiven through our Lord Jesus Christ, because he died on Calvary's cross and his blood was shed. The direction that you're heading, the danger that awaits you. If you've not accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, instead of going to hell, you can go to heaven because Jesus died and rose again. That emptiness, that void that you have in your heart can be satisfied and filled through Jesus because he satisfies the longing heart. The gospel that we preach is not about works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's all about him, and the good news is tonight, the gospel or the salvation that he offers is to each and every one in this room. Be it known unto you, tonight you can have your sins forgiven. Tonight you can have peace with God. Tonight that void, that emptiness in your heart can be filled because of the battle that took place, because of the one who loved you and went to Calvary's cross, the one who died for you. God was satisfied with that work. The blood was shed. God raised him from the dead. Jesus is alive. We preach to you tonight a risen Savior, one who wants to be your Savior. It's precious. It's marvelous. Jesus is the answer. It's nothing that we can do. It's all about what he has done. How wonderful. How marvelous. I was thinking this afternoon of the song, When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Soul. There was a line, and I wrote it down. It said, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Tonight, you can have peace. You can have forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He satisfies the longing heart. He takes those bricks. He takes the sin that you have. He takes those burdens and he will remove them. He satisfies the longing heart. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Would you be free from your burden of sin? Tonight, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Jesus saves and he saves tonight. I've seen people get saved in Vacation Bible School. I've seen them get saved at gospel outreaches. We've seen them get saved in Sunday school. I've seen them get saved after a gospel meeting. I've seen them get saved at a college campus. I've seen them get saved in a classroom. I've seen them get saved in a basement. You can get saved here tonight. It's marvelous. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow. Don't say, I'll do it next week. Don't say, I'll do it when I get older. Tonight. Jesus is calling you tonight. Tonight you can have peace. God loves you. God wants to save you. Don't wait. Don't put it off. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Tell the message all around. And that's what we're doing tonight right here in near Grand Rapids, Michigan, that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free through the Lamb of Calvary. This is our song of victory. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Remember the battle. Remember who it was who died on Calvary's cross. He's the one who can save you. Remember the battle. Back in the 1800s, in approximately, I believe it was 1836, the Texans were trying to gain their independence from Mexico. And a battle took place either in San Antonio or near San Antonio, and that's in the southern part of what is now the United States, in a building called the Alamo. Approximately 182 men inside the Alamo, and this is coming from the Americans' perspective of the history. Obviously, there's two sides when dealing with history and with war and stuff. But these men were inside the Alamo. And the battle took place in February 23rd, I believe, of 1836. And for 13 days, those men fought. They fought for the freedom They wanted the land. They were bold and they were courageous. We know from history that they didn't win. And the Mexican army was able to make it their way in. And eventually those ones in the compound were killed. A month later, another battle was fought. And while they were fighting, the cry went out, "Remember the Alamo." In other words, remember what the men who had gone on before had done to fight for the freedom. And tonight, we don't remember the Alamo, but we remember the battle. We remember the one who came from heaven, who came down into this earth. And the battle that took place was not at the Alamo. It was on Mount Calvary. And tonight, we remember the one who did that. And we proclaim to you, you can have salvation because of what took place there. As we start to wrap this up, another thing that took place at the Alamo, and it's what's called legend, the men inside the compound were killed, so we just have the accounts of the women, and perhaps there was one slave who was there to escape them, not for sure. Different historians say different things. But the legend has it that Colonel Travis, during the fighting, got out his saber and took his saber and drew a line in the sand. And he let the men know that they had to make a decision. And tonight you need to make a decision. But here's what their options were. Option one, go out of the compound, out of the Alamo, and fight the Mexican army, and very likely would be slaughtered very quickly. Number two, they could surrender. Number three, they could stay and fight. Tonight, I don't have options like that for you, but I do. We're going to draw that line in the sand figuratively, so to speak. I'm going to get out that saber, so to speak, and draw it. On one hand, we'll call it this hand, my right, are ones who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've made a definite decision. We're not playing on the fence tonight. You either are saved or you're not saved. There is no middle, okay? It's not a game. Tonight, you either know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're either going to walk out of these doors over here or over here, over here, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior because you accepted Him as your Savior, or you're going to be on this side in your sins, on your way to the lake of fire, and with an emptiness in your heart. Is that what you want? That's not what we want for you. That's not what Tim wants. That's not what your parents want. Tonight, we want you to take that step and accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Tonight, we want you to cross that line. And how can you do that? I'm glad you're thinking that. I'm glad you're ready to ask that question. Tonight, you can do that by repenting and putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And here's what that looks like. Right where you are, you don't have to come up here. You're welcome to do that. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus, I'd love for you to come on up here and I could help you, or Tim could help you, or Bernie could help you, or anyone in this room who just ask could do it, or you can do it right in your seat. This is where we have to draw the line in the sand and say, tonight, I am on the Lord's side. Tonight, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. So how would you do that? You could just bow your head right where you are. And if you really mean it, you could just say it from your heart. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe you died for me. Please wash away my sins. Come into my heart. I accept your gift of eternal life. Amen. The key point is if you really meant it. It's not the words you say, but just letting the Lord Jesus know, I've sinned. I believe that you've died for me. Please wash away my sins. I accept your gift, and you will. And tonight you go from being in your sins, you go from being on the way to destruction, you go from that emptiness in your heart to having the knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's wonderful. If tonight there's anything that I said that is confusing, if I didn't say it the right way or you have questions, my name is Donnie. I'd be happy to talk with you. I'm sure Tim would be happy to talk with you. Or if Tim's got other things going, I'm sure others in this room would be happy to talk to you. If you're sitting here tonight and you say, my parents, they would be embarrassed to know that up until this point, I haven't been a Christian. I want to let you know that tonight they would be so happy. There would be joy in their hearts, smiles on their faces, if you would accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Your grandparents would be thrilled. Others would be just ecstatic too. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. In closing, I'd like to sing number 332. Come just as you are. Just as you are, come tonight. Come to Jesus. He'll save you. He'll save you. He won't turn you away. Number 332. Sing from your hearts, please. Just as I... Thank you. one verse and then we'll pray. Don't have to turn to it. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight there's victory in Jesus. Please come to Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just pray that You would open the hearts of each person here. We know how much You love them, how much You care about them. We know that You are not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Tonight, may they see Your love. May they see that salvation can be found through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who have that struggle, that tug of war that's going on, we pray that they would just say, "Yes, Lord, I believe. Save me." We pray that they would have victory tonight. And again, we pray for journeying mercies for our young people coming from Canada for safe travels. We ask this in the name and the power of our victorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.